A reading from the book of the prophet Zechariah. Thus says the Lord, "Rejoice heartily, O daughter Zion. Shout for joy, O daughter Jerusalem. See, your king shall come to you. A just savior is he, meek, and riding on an ass, on a colt, the foal of an ass. He shall banish the chariot from Ephraim and the horse from Jerusalem. The warrior's bow shall be banished, and he shall proclaim peace to the nations. His dominion shall be from sea to sea, and from the river to the end of the earth." The word of the Lord. A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans. Brothers and sisters, you are not in the flesh. On the contrary, you are in the Spirit. If only the Spirit of God dwells in you. Whoever does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. If the Spirit of the one who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, the one who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies also, through the Spirit that dwells in you. Consequently, brothers and sisters, we are not debtors to the flesh to live accordingly to the flesh. For if you live accordingly to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. The word of the Lord.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. At that time, Jesus exclaimed, "I give praise to you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, for although you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned, you have revealed them to the little ones. Yes, Father, such has been your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wishes to reveal him. Come to me, all you who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart. You will find rest for yourselves, for my yoke is easy and my burden light." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. This is taken from the first reading that we heard proclaimed this morning. See, your king shall come to you, a just savior is he. A preconceived idea. When I earned my degree, my master's degree in school administration through the University of St. Mary's in Winona, their program allowed that you could earn credits other places and have them transferred to the university. So I was able to go to the University of Notre Dame in Indiana for several summers to pick up a one-week course here and there. And the first time that I had done that, I was hoping that maybe I could one day run into Lou Holtz, who had just been hired to be the new football coach from the University of Minnesota. Luck almost had it that he was going to speak to our class, but he couldn't do so because he was going to have surgery. So I had my idea that if I ever run into Lou Holtz, what does he look like? Certainly I've seen pictures of him and so forth, but they can be deceiving. One day, one summer I was there, I was walking to class, and I saw this little guy come toward me down the sidewalk. And he was saying hi to everybody. He had a cap on. "Hi, how are you? Good to see you." Well, it was Lou Holtz, and by God, he was only about that tall. And he came up to me, says, "Hi, glad to have you here at Notre Dame," and walked by before I even had a chance to say, "Hi, coach." Now, that wasn't my preconceived idea. I thought he would be bigger, taller, bigger built. He was just the opposite. And I think all of us do that. If we anticipate meeting somebody that we have not met, we have kind of an idea of who they might look like. but oftentimes we're wrong. And today in our first reading, we heard the same thing what the prophet Zechariah gave to the people of Israel and Judah, who had this preconceived idea of who they believed the Savior would be and look like. But it was quite the opposite. The prophet Zechariah preached to the people, gave the prophecy that one day they would return to their homeland. We've heard that from other prophets of the same era. In his book, if you had it before you, it's basically in two parts. And the part we heard today is the beginning of the second, where he envisions the coming of the Savior. Now, as people were anticipating what the Savior was going to look like, they just figured this was going to be a very powerful king. He probably might be riding on horseback or on a chariot. He'd be bringing his entire army into the country, and he will overthrow the enemy, kick them out, tear down what they built, as their things had been torn down and the enemy had rebuilt the country. So many kings had come and gone, their own plus the foreign invader. So their idea was this one's going to have to be awfully powerful. But what did the prophet Zechariah, the vision he gave? He gave the vision of a man riding a donkey that would be coming to their country. Quite the opposite of not a big army riding on horseback. Certainly a horse, as have you ever seen, can be quite huge and powerful, but they can't do everything. They're not known as beasts of burden. The Savior to come will be riding on a beast of burden. He will be one powerful in some way, because the beast of burden indicates that this beast can do everything. And this king will bring an enduring peace. This king, this Savior, is going to be meek and humble of heart. Quite the contrary to what they had envisioned. And to make that true that this is Jesus Christ, the vision of him coming, all four gospel accounts, the evangelists record that Jesus rode into the city of Jerusalem mounted on a donkey, a beast of burden. But his peace would be enduring. It wouldn't be flashy, but he'd bring this peace in so that people will know this indeed is Savior and Lord and King. Yesterday, our nation celebrated its 244th anniversary as a nation. We can see past in history what our country has been involved to hopefully try to bring peace among people here. Called upon many a time to bring peace in the world where there's strife. We can recall all the bad things that have happened in our country, but that's what the purpose of history is, so that you do not repeat it. I hope that in your prayers today that you pray for peace. Just within our last month, we've seen the turmoil within our own country. It has to come when people who have turmoil in their hearts and maybe have so much hatred that peace, God's peace, cannot dwell. But peace, first of all, has to begin with each and every one of us. We have to be at peace with God. We know what sin does, what it can division and hatred it can cause. Christ came to bring peace among all people. And so we pray that, first of all, we be humble before God and let his peace dwell with us. Then peace can be effective, we hope and pray, through our nation and world. The Savior, when he came, didn't come in a flashy way, but he came so that enduring peace could rule forever. We pray for God's peace in this life, so that we will know the ultimate of God's peace in the world and his kingdom that is to come.